Hi, this is the Women of Letters podcast. I just want to apologise at the beginning. There's quite a bit of echo on this recording, and unfortunately I couldn't do anything about it, but it's Amy talking about her fantastic trip to Texas and what happened at Dallas Con, so I thought it's worth putting up, and I'm sure you'll enjoy it, and we'll try and fix this problem for our next podcast. Cheers.
Hi, this is Amy, also known as Sweet Undine for the Winchester Family Business, and I'm coming to you live from Austin, Texas, y'all.
Yay! And this is Jules, still home in Australia, from the Super Wiki, and we're going to be basically finding out all about Dallas Con, because that's why Amy has travelled to Texas. So, Amy, how long have you been in Texas now?
Been here for a couple of weeks. We've got about just under a week left. We head home on Monday our time. So it's Tuesday morning now, very early. I want everybody to know how early I've woken up to do this. The sacrifices I make for you all.
Fandom appreciates your sacrifice.
Thank you. We're still yet to go to Dallas. We've got another day in Austin and then we're off to Dallas. So got a little bit of time left. So we've been here for a couple of weeks. It's been great. We went to Houston and San Antonio and NASA. Got our space geek on. I know. And we've been in Austin now for a few days and it's a super cool town. Very, very fun. So, yeah, it's been great. It's hot. It's very hot.
Oh, don't. How lovely.
It's not something we're not used to, but very hot. But it's great, really, really good place. We've had a blast. Texans are very nice, as we know.
Well, speaking of Texans that we know, you obviously flew in and went straight to the con, which was held in Dallas.
We flew in. We actually had a shot. Our flight got delayed by 7 hours, so. I know, it was Hazel, my friend from New Zealand, and another friend, she was up in Brisbane of mine, Rebecca, who we all flew on the same flight, and fly out at 1:35 or something, which would have got us into Dallas that same time on the Thursday. So we had all afternoon, we're super excited, but got delayed, some plane thing, they had to get us a new one. Better to find out when you're on the ground than in the air, I know, but still. And so we ended up getting in like about 9 o'clock on Thursday night. So it was about a
And that's with the basically the con starting on Friday.
We went upstairs, dumped our bag and went straight down to registration because registration started at 8 or something or 8:30 or something for gold and we were all gold. And so we just went straight down and got into the queue for registration so we could get that done. And then to the bar. Of course.
So whereabouts for those of us who haven't been to Dallas Con, whereabouts in Dallas is the convention held?
I have no idea.
Is it at the airport? Is it downtown?
It's not at the airport. Hazel's lying next to me. Hazel, where would you say in Dallas that the things that I'm just going to do a shout out? The cons. It's sort of not far from the airport. It was about a 30-minute taxi drive from the airport. I don't know what part of Dallas that is. The whole of Dallas is like seems to be under construction. We had unbelievable roadworks going on. We had a fabulous run. The driver we actually lobbed in on Rebecca's car, and the driver was very surprised to suddenly have four girls instead of one. He said, I don't know how long it's going to take. And it took us about 30 minutes. Whereas Adam from Creation said it took him 2 hours from the airport to the hotel. So because of the roadworks. So we were pretty lucky. So it's like half an hour from the airport in some direction.
Well, okay.
On a freeway. It's on a freeway.
A good time catching up with people in the bar that night, I'm sure.
We had. Actually, one of the first people we ran into was Rick Worthy.
Of course it was.
Surrounded by a gaggle of
The man who's everywhere. Right?
So, you know, like Hazel and I have sort of met up with him in and stuff. So I've seen him a few times at cons, but I've actually caught up with him and had lunch and stuff. So that was really nice to see him. And he had, yeah, he was pretty much, if you saw a pod of fangirls, you'd be pretty sure that there'd be a Rick Worthy in the middle of them. So...
I have to say, having experienced that in Vancouver, and anyone, you may even have picked it up from his appearances on Supernatural, the man exudes a, one can only say, sexual magnetism that draws people in, people of any gender and orientation, I will say. He's an amazingly charismatic man, and you're quite right. Every time you turn around, it's like linked to a belly button. There's like he's in this always just people just sort of like magnets or something across the room to attracted to him, and he seems to pop up in the you turn around and he's just there.
And he's just such a nice guy. He's a really super sweet guy. So on top of all of that, he's actually a lovely, yes, lovely person. So, yeah, we had a quick cuddle with him and then headed down to the bar. He was also in the bar but in a different section, and Osric was down there as well with him. So there was like a – I think Osric was the doing that art contest. You know, he did that fan art contest,
yes.
So the winner was there. Actually, her name is Molly, and she was there, and you know, he was kind of doing that. And but they were on another side of the bar, and we were just sort of eating and trying to get to decompress after 25 hours of trying to get there. But yeah, met, you know, there was a couple of people there I knew, and I met a couple of people that I met one of the people, one of the ladies who always sort of comments on everything on the Winchester Family Business, really nice lady called Sue, and I met her, so that was super cool.
Oh, fantastic. We were
like really, really excited to meet up. But
where was she from?
She's from Houston.
Oh.
Just near Houston. So it was interesting, though, because I've done it. That was my sixth creation one. So you kind of get to see a lot of the same people. And certainly when you go to ones like Vegas or VanCon, it's just, you know, all the same faces or a lot of the same faces. There's new people as well, but you see a lot of people like constantly going, hey, hi, how you going? Ooh, good to see you again. But it wasn't so much like that in Dallas. There were a lot of people that I knew or I'd seen before. And Lynn from Fangasm was there. And so we had a good cuddle. And, you know, there was the people that you do see, but I have to say that it was a lot of people, a lot of newbies. When the guys were kind of like, hey, who's new? A really, really large part of the audience whacked their hand in the air. And I'd say that the best part of the audience was from Texas. So it was a very local con. It felt a little bit smaller. And I don't know, just it was probably one of the best ones I've done. It was absolutely fantastic.
Wonderful.
Yeah, really beautifully organized, good venue. You know, the rooms were all good. The lifts were chronically slow, but you know, you get that when you know, piling up and down. But yeah, really super great con. Everybody was in really high spirits. So yeah, kicked off the Friday night and had a few drinks, and then this Thursday night. What day is it?
And so then the panels started on Friday,
but not till 12. It was like praise Chuck.
Lovely.
Oh my gosh, it was so good.
Oh, look, I have to say, for listeners who don't live in Australia and don't have to fly around the world every time you go overseas, I have to say, I don't know how you do it, Amy, because I can't, I need to arrive a good, well, ideally 3 weeks beforehand, but if not 3 days beforehand, because it... Not only the change in time zones, but it's actually, you know, travelling for, you know, in your case, like 25 hours or whatever is exhausting. Mm. And the thought of diving straight into a con, that sleep until, you know, a bit later in the morning must have been really welcome.
It was very heavenly. And when we looked at the schedule, we were like, yes, yes, that's awesome. I think that's true. They are incredibly exhausting. But I just say that you kind of run on this weird adrenaline squee and bubbles of love, and you kind of don't really feel it. Like you feel exhausted, but you don't really feel exhausted. Which is cool. But yeah, Friday was a crazy start, and Richard was hosting it, so that was really great. And he kicked off the show, and he was, him and Rob were first up, and they're just, they're so fun together, because they just have this epic bromance going on. And, you know, they tell stories about traveling together. I mean, they traveled together after Justin Bello. I guess they were in Milan, and they were traveling.
Yes, they went through Europe.
Yeah, and they were traveling with Richard's brother-in-law and another mate. And they told this hilarious story about Richard's brother-in-law booked three rooms. One had a double and the other two had kings, and Richard and Rob ended up in the room with the king. And Rob's like, "Ah, it's cool." And Richard's like, "Ah, let's change rooms, you know." And he's like, "Why? You know, this room's fine. We're here now. Let's not make a fuss. Let's just stay here." And Richard's like, "It's got one bed." "Yeah, what? So why?" And like, they had this huge fight. They're standing on stage acting out this fight as they, like, yelled at each other, going, "It's got one bed. But, you know, so, you know," and it was just so funny, so funny. And they're so casual with each other that, like, Rob's, like, drinking from Richard's drink, and Richard's like, "Are you right? Are you just going to help yourself?" And they're just beautiful. And there was also, Rob told the story of how Rich played a joke on him, and because they book in under fake names. Now, we actually know that that Rick was booked in under Barney Rubble, because he told us. He even said his room number at one point.
Oh, Rick.
So Rob said they were booked under false names, and in one column, I can't remember which one it was, Richard told Rob, "Blow me."
Oh.
So Rob said he was going, "I don't know how to pronounce this last name. Is it Jablomi? Jablome?" And he's like trying to say it, "Heywood Jablome? Heywood Jablomi?" And I'm not sure how to pronounce that. And he's having to say it over and over to the until it cottoned on, "Hey, would you blow me?" So they're just so adorable, and it was a really good start, because they're funny guys. I mean, I think the thing is about these guys, particularly I think Rich and Rob and Matt, when those three are together, they are whip quick with their humor. They are so fast on their comeback lines, I think I said this after All Hell Breaks Loose, they need to have a show and not one called "Damn You, Matt." You know, they need to do like stand-up or something. It's like watching a stand-up routine. It's just, it's hilarious. And Rob is just so self-effacing. He just laughs at himself constantly.
He's a straight guy. He's just, yeah.
He is. He really is. And he's just always giggling at himself with that great big smile. So that was a really good start. And then we had Rick was on next, and he was in fine form, and he was doing all that alien baby, vampire baby impregnating people in the audience. Everybody bought him food. People bought him cupcakes and cookies, and people bought him food.
Is this a thing he has now that people have to bring him?
We all know, like, he's an absolute cupcake bag. I mean, he's constantly posting photos of cupcakes. He said there's three things he loves. It was cupcakes, beer, and he's going, "What's the third thing?" We're yelling out, "Buddy!" Because it's like his cup.
"What's the third thing?" We're yelling out, "Buddy!" Because it's like his
cupcakes, his beer, and his dog are like his three priorities in life. So he was in fine form. I mean, he was licking icing off a fan's finger in a couple of rows ahead of us. And, you know, he got her to put icing on her finger, and he's like sucking on her finger, like full on. And we're like, "Oh my goodness, excuse me." And he talked for a little bit about how he was a bit disappointed. that he never got called back for season 8 after the scene next season. Mm-hmm. Like, he actually he really did expect that he would be back next, you know, in season 8 after that line. And he said he was really, it felt really bad not to get that call, and it was, you know, I sounded like he was a little hurt, and he said he's let it go now, but, you know, he still would love very much to be back on the show, but he's worried now that if he comes back, if they like, he'd love to do an ep with Ty, but he said if he does that, he knows that one of them is not going to make that alive, you know? So it's like double-edged sword, that one, which one of us is going to go down. And
welcome to Supernatural.
I think it was the alpha vamp somehow. So, but he,
but I have to agree. I would do anything to see, well, not anything, but I would give a lot to see, an episode with Ty and Rick in, cause I, you know, that's a hell of a lot of testosterone-driven vampire there in, those two, and I think it would the chemistry on the screen.
I think it would be great to see them do a panel together too, because they seem to have hit off really well. You see them chatting and things, and on Twitter, and you know that they hung out in England together and all that kind of stuff. So I think they'd do a great panel together. Actually, they're going to be in Aussie, aren't they? They're going to be at Armageddon together.
We're going to be going to dinner with them, if in case you hadn't forgotten naming.
We are. It's all a bit of a blur at the moment, but we are going to be having dinner with them in a couple of weeks.
In a few weeks' time, just for listeners who wonder why Amy and I are talking about our social arrangements, know where there's a convention called Armageddon being held here in Melbourne. DJ Quarles, unfortunately, is unable to come. But we're going to have Rick, Ty, Kim Rhodes, and
Mark Ralston.
I'm not sure if he's coming to dinner, but
no, I don't know if he's coming to
dinner. But anyway, we will be having dinner with Rick, Ty, and Kim, which is one of the special events. So we will, don't you worry, we will podcast about that if we remember any of it.
We will. And it's not like, it's not like sense. We will be having dinner with them. It's not like a date or anything.
It's part of the convention, and we have paid handsomely for it. However, I'm sure it will be much fun. Anyway, back to the panels in Dallas.
So Rick's always great fun, and then we had Osric. So, like, Friday was a really nice
quiet day. Osric dressed up for the occasion, I believe.
Osric had been tweeting out that he was going to cosplay, and no, it wasn't Supernatural, and we were like, oh, I wonder what he's going to cosplay as. Well, none of us really expected him to be Princess Bubblegum from Adventure Time. So Osric comes out, and he's in full cosplay drag. He's got on a long pink wig and like a big tall tiara and a skirt. He had on like this little tight t-shirt with a little kind of bolero pink cardi and pink gum boots. They were super cool. And he'd paint a pink tights, and he'd painted his arms. So his arms were like really pale pink.
Yeah, which I think is the real commitment. I mean, once you start body painting for your cosplay, then, you know, you're committing to that. No, I've got great admiration for him.
He said he immediately regretted the decision because it was really hot. Like, he was really, really hot. And he had like a little fan thing, which is, I think, a character thing as well. I don't know. I don't watch Adventure Time, but I have since Googled her to see what she looked like. And he did an amazing job. He just got her absolutely spot on. So he was, and he spent the whole convention like that. So we had all our photos with Osric.
Wonderful.
I know, as Princess Bubblegum, or Princess Bubble Butt, as Misha accidentally called him. and then he did karaoke as Princess Bubblegum. That was the first time I'd seen Osric. It was only his second con.
And how was his panel?
His panel was great. He talked a lot about his... he's like really, I guess because he's like a gamer and he's really into, you know, sort of social media and has a really good understanding of fandom. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like it sounds like he has an understanding of many fandoms, not just the supernatural one, though he talked about the supernatural one and how that's totally changed his life. Like the show has totally changed his life. The fandom has totally changed his life. But he spoke a lot about actually his martial arts studying. People were asking, can I just say, congratulations, Texas.
Yes.
People were asking really good questions at this con. Mostly, there was still, you know, the odd bad one, but there was, I have to say, I don't think there was a superhero power one. Maybe there was, actually, for Quarren, maybe, but once. But it wasn't like, hey, if you had a superhero power, what would it be? Like, oh, my God. Shut up. So they were asking good questions, and they asked Osric a lot of really good questions about how he started and his martial arts.
Sorry to interrupt. For someone so young, he's already, you know, he's had a really varied and interesting career already.
He's amazing. He's obviously really adventurous. I mean, he kind of went to Beijing to train, to study for like a short period of time, went, I'm going to stay, and stayed for like 9 months. You know, he's been on the Canadian team for his particular martial arts that he does this, which is Wushu. And yeah, he's massively interesting and travels all over the place. And yeah, his panel was great because it was pretty funny with him dressed, and you know, there was just sort of constant giggles about that. But he was a very interesting guy. He's really sweet. What a nice guy. He's little. I had no idea. Everybody's little on that show except for a couple of them.
Well, I have to say, it does it really does skew your perception of how tall people are, because of course we have Jared and Jensen as a benchmark. And so you sort of forget, you sort of in your mind know that just because someone looks short next to them, it doesn't mean they're short, but then some people are actually short.
No, they're little. Richard actually said that the height grew as the con went on. So all the little people went, well, that's not true because Rick must be about 6'2". But, you know, like Rich and Rob are little and yes. Osric's little. And yeah, anyway.
That'll be relative, like, of course. I mean, they're actually sort of like average height.
No, they're little. They're the same height as me. Rob's not as tall as me.
Isn't he?
No, I'm 5'7". He's not as tall as me. And I'd say Hazel's about 5'8", and we were probably as tall as Osric, I'd say, but not as tall as his tiara. So he had some heart on us there. Rich is a little bit taller than me, but not much. So they are kind of, you know, compact fellows. But yeah, Osric was great. He had I really enjoyed his panel. And he just is really sweet guy. Just, you know, how does this show attract just these people that are all really just lovely, lovely people? And he just seems like such a sweet guy. So that was Friday. And then
certainly the ones, you know, that have started, you know, who are at the conventions, as you were saying, with Matt and Rob and Richard and, you know, now Osric and Ty. And, I mean, they all seem to get on as well too, which I think is quite amazing, you know.
Well, I think what's really lovely is – it is. It's truly amazing. And what's really lovely is that they've made friends – like the fandom has. So these guys have not done episodes together or anything, but they've become really great friends. And so the sort of experience that the fans have in the fandom of meeting people at conventions and hitting it off and becoming really close friends with people that, you know, they may only see, you know, on the convention circuit or, you know, whatever, they may see more than that, but the, you know, you make some really wonderful friends. And I think it's great that the cast are also having those kind of experiences.
They're reflecting the fandom experience themselves through going to conventions.
Yeah, you know, and they've made really tight friendships. Like
actually, when you were talking
Rich
about Rob and Richard talking about sharing a room and sharing a bed, it just flashed into my mind because that's the fan experience. I mean, again, for those of you haven't been to conventions, it's very common, you know, to allay costs that you'll often have, you know, four people sharing a double room. Sometimes and quite often more people, but, you know, so you're quite often, you know, two and occasionally three to a bed amongst people you may have just met.
Absolutely. I've done that with people. I've literally gone, hi, how are you going? Yep, let's hop into bed together. You know, so am I giving too much away about myself?
Yeah, we'll talk about what happened after karaoke later. Oh, is it just me? Okay. Anyway.
Okay.
So Friday night, of course, was karaoke.
Friday night was karaoke. I actually got dressed up.
You're a naughty schoolgirl. You look delicious.
Thank you very much. It was fun. Karaoke is always good. It's so much better now than what it used to be. It's so nicely organized. The guys all have a great time. And Rich and Matt were in there. High school uniforms, and Rich was wearing Jensen shorts, and he actually told the story about that. He actually rang up, and he actually wanted to just get a copy made of them, and he rang Jensen and sort of said, hey, you know, your shorts are, I'm kind of from that after school special, you know, the shorts from the after school special, you know, I'd like to get a copy made of them, and Jensen's like, I got you, and that was basically all he said, and he got the outfit shipped to Rich.
Oh, how gorgeous.
Isn't he wonderful? sorry, I had a moment. And so Rich is basically, he was supposed to sort of send it back, but it's been on the con circuit now. So he's just wearing this outfit. He's like saying, and it hasn't been washed. It's like, oh. And like he sweats like at karaoke. I know.
Oh, that'll be pretty rough. I think
we
need to do something about that.
I know, right? He needs to get that washed. Matt in that, I'm sorry, a man should not look so completely hot in that outfit. Little bows and they both had their cowboy hats on, so really cute. And and Rob was there dressed as a nerd. He had like taped up glasses, and Rick was there, and Osric was there as Princess Bubblegum, and the map. He did. I actually recorded it, and I haven't had internet good enough to put it up on my YouTube yet, but I did get him doing a full rap, and it was really good. So super talented young guy. So, karaoke, always a blast. It gets busier and busier and busier. We were cacking ourselves the other day because there was a couple in front of us that really huge guy, a man, like, I guess they're married, I don't know, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, but really massive guy, like a man mountain guy in front of us, and they were drinking, and one of the songs was Spice Girls, you know, tell me what you want, what you really, really want, and he got so into it, and he's like singing the whole thing, and we're standing behind him going, check this guy out, he's like, tell me what you want, what you really, really want, and he's like wiggling, and oh my gosh, it was really fun, so everybody really got into it, and we went and got our photo done with the Karaoke Kings in costume. There may have been lollipops and tongues involved, and it was all a bit distracting with Matt's tongue right near my face, and anyway, cuddling and sweat and so that was fun because I think we had the one with them in their Vegas outfits, and now we've got this one. So,
oh, cool!
Yeah, so we're getting a little collection of Karaoke Kings outfits.
And I believe, so I know for Chicago Con, which is always around Halloween, they're doing a Halloween theme, and then I believe they've announced that next year's karaoke theme is the 80s. So
I think Vegas is lounge lizards.
Is it? Oh, okay. It's putting a lot of pressure on everyone to get
costumes. I think the rest of it's the 80s, but I'm pretty sure Vegas, which was different last year as well, is lounge lizards, which is like Rat Pack, which is really funny because at the cocktail party at Armageddon, that's what we were saying at All Hell Breaks Loose. That's what we were saying to Rich. Oh, what are you going to do next time? You should do like the Rat Pack. You guys would look so cool if you came out and, you know, your sort of suits and stuff. So that's what they're doing, like lounge lizard, Rat Pack showgirls. You know, that kind of thing. So that kind of, that's
well, hopefully Vegas, Matt will anyway. Be a showgirl so he can show off those legs.
Yeah, his legs are awesome. Yeah. And I'm very appreciative of how short his t-shirt is, but that's a whole other story.
And it's great, these, as you said, you know, the whole karaoke experience at the cons has really grown, and so many more fans getting into, you know, dressing up in theme, and you know, that just makes it, you know, even more special, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And there was quite a few people there dressed up, which is really fun. And yeah, anyway, it was good. And I think we didn't stay right till the kick on at the end. Mark Shepherd made a guest appearance and said no a lot, which is the side of the big joke.
Which is his shtick.
It's very much his shtick, his deadpan no.
Which, given that, you know, he's got a music background, you know, he's been in the band,
yes.
You know, one day he's going to crack, I'm sure.
I can't see it. I mean, he played drums at Vegas. That was super cool. Yeah, but I don't think he'll crack. I think it's his thing. I think it's Mark's thing. So anyway, we kind of, it was a pretty long couple of days, so we didn't kick on right to the end. We sort of left pretty much after the Karaoke Kings photo, and left the rest of the guys to kick on into the wee hours. And I think we saw them basically tweeting, yeah, it was a great night tonight, guys. So when we saw them wrap up, it was probably about, you know, 45 minutes or an hour or something after we kind of went, see ya. But yeah,
and, good night. And advice to new con goers, you do have to be careful about, you know, the karaoke is so much fun and such a great time, but it's really at the beginning of, before two full days of con going. So you have to be careful about pacing yourself, don't you, Amy?
You do. You have to be careful. Don't write yourself off on karaoke night and stay up.
Could you remind me of that in Vancouver next year, please?
I will remind you, Jules. I don't think you'll listen to me, but I will remind you anyway. But, I think Saturday is always a lot bigger day, and usually a very big day. And Sunday, you know, for most cons it's Saturday, and then Sunday is mostly just the guys and maybe a couple of extra panels. And they're both very long days. And with the autograph, on Saturday, you can go to like 9 or 10 o'clock at night, and you know, pace yourself is a very good rule for con going. Just remember, you've got to get up the next day, and you've got to have your photo taken with really pretty people, and you just don't want to look like haggard. You want to at least look sort of semi okay. So Saturday started about 10, I think, so it was still really nice. 10 or just after 10, and Rich introduced it again because he was hosting, so it was great. He was introduced all the guests, popped in and out, opened the day, closed the day. He's awesome, and they're so lucky to have him doing that. I think that was just such a great decision, and I'm so glad that he's doing all of them now. So it was him and Matt were up first, and I have to say, it's probably the funniest panel I've ever seen. They did the Texas laws. So anytime someone came up from Texas, they could pick a number between 1 and 30 or 1 and something, and they'd go 14. And then they'd read out a real Texas law that they'd got online from some website that had all the Texas laws listed. They'd read a real one, and they were – it was the funniest thing, because they couldn't believe it. They're like going – Matt's going, I could not make this up if I'd tried. And it was just – it was honestly one of the funniest panels. I was screaming with laughter. The laws were like, you can't shoot a buffalo from a second story window, but so Rich is like, okay, so everybody, third story, if you're going to be shooting buffaloes, go up the floor. You know, it was, you can't take more than 3 sips of beer while standing. So basically, the joke for that one, everybody up against the wall, you're getting frisked, you're taking all downtown, which was the joke for pretty much everything. You can't own more than 6 dildos. And in Dallas, you can't. Yes, this is true. And in Dallas, you cannot own.
There goes my immigration plans.
Well, this exactly. Richard's like, all of you are under arrest. And you, in Dallas, you can't own a realistic dildo.
Oh,
that is actually a law. Somebody has written that. They've actually sat around and gone, It was just, it was hilarious. And the every single law was just so wildly bizarre. And we were laughing a lot. I'm hoping that the people from Texas were also laughing a lot. I think they were. I do think they were. But it was just that kind of panel. It just got ruder and dirtier, and it just, you know, it just got more and more wrong. We went and had our photo taken with Richard afterwards, and I said to him, that was a great panel. And he was like, oh, yeah, you enjoyed that? And I was like, yeah, it was like the funniest panel I've ever seen. And he goes, oh, great. He goes, yeah, we had a good time. I said, you look like you had a good time. And he goes, we might have had too much of a good time. And then, and when he got back on stage, he said, you know, that last panel, we saw the line, we crossed it, and then we like kept going, and we just, it was kind of, and I think they must have gone off stage and gone, woo, that might have gone a bit far, because it got really risque, and you know, just so poking fun at the locals. But it was you know, all done with in a good spirit and just funny. It was just so funny. So I think that was, I can't even remember if they talked about it, because all I can remember were these bizarre freaking laws that they were. There was more than that, but I can't remember. Hayden wrote them all down. She's like, oh my god, she typed them all into her phone
just to make sure you didn't break any of them during your holiday.
Yeah, we're like, okay, I must note to self, no shooting buffaloes from that second story window. What? Okay, so that was fantastic. And then we had James and Mark Shepherd, and of course they're old friends.
James Patrick Stewart.
I'm sorry, yes, Dick. Dick, yes, and much of it. And they've known each other for 20 years or something. There's some that James Patrick Stewart drove Mark Shepherd somewhere, like gave him a ride like 20 years ago. And
oh, to San Diego.
Yeah, they've got that story. And then there was some story about a jacket, like James borrowed a jacket or something off Mark and never returned it, and Mark didn't speak to him for like 10 years or what's that? Some random story. And then anyway, now they're really good mates, and so there's a really nice comfort between them on stage, because you know, they know each other's kids. James knows Mark's dad, you know, so there's this real sort of relaxed thing. And Mark is just wonderful. You know, we've been saying we must do his meet and greet one time, because he's super articulate, such a passionate, so passionately in love with what he does for a living, but also passionately in love with how it reaches out and touches us all. And, you know, one of the things that he said, you know, was that he thinks we're all very, very brave people, because we wear our fandom on our sleeve. We wear our love for something on our sleeve, and you know, we open ourselves up then to the masses to point and laugh at us and ridicule us, but you know, we love it so much that we're brave enough to embrace it and to, you know, show our love. And you know, he says all these wonderful things to us, and we love him so much. You know,
and then he turns around and says something really snarky that cuts you to your knees.
And I love how we ask people for questions, you know, like, he'll turn and go, go on, you. And it's like, yeah, oi, you. He's just awesome. And he laughs constantly. Like, he's just laughing the whole time. And he's just such a lovely man. And James is very Hollywood, I have to say. He comes across as being, in a nice way, not like in a sort of stuffy, stuck-up way, but he's very smooth, you know, like he's very manicured looking, very put together. And you can tell he's been sort of raised, I mean, his parents were quite well-known folk singers, and he was going to go that direction and ended up being an actor. And you can kind of tell that he was sort of raised in the biz, so to speak. And he's just lovely. And they're really great duo. And they sort of talked about, you know, Dick. James talked about Dick's death scene. He thought that was, he just thought it was lame, I think. For Leviathan to go out like that. And he also, when he read it, he was like, oh, great. And Mark talked about some stuff, you know, like he apparently got humped by one of those goats in purgatory. You know, I think, you know, like went on that purgatory set, you know, in that field.
Yes.
You know, we went to that field on the location tour. There's a lot of outtakes of him on the extended gag reel, which we kept hearing about over the weekend.
The special one only the cast and crew get to see.
Yes, and he was saying there was a lot of swearing on him, kind of trying to get Randy Goats off his leg on the extended gag reel that we all want to see. Like, you can't believe. Like, why can't we see this? I hate you all. What else? Yeah, they just had a really good time, I think. Yeah, I can't.
That's all right. Why don't we? Well, did you go to the cocktail party on Saturday night, or were you?
I didn't. But hey, we had Mark Pellegrino.
Oh, yes, Pellegrino.
And Misha came out Misha came out. He actually asked the Supernatural costume department that he said, I think, you know, I'd like to go like as a cowboy. I think that would be really cool. And, you know, because he missed Dallas last year because the baby came. His daughter came, so he'd had to drop out. So this was his first Dallas Con. So he asked the Supernatural wardrobe ladies for, you know, like something to wear that could make him look, you know, cowboy. And he just looked like a 5-year-old dressed for like Western
party. Dressed up for Halloween or something.
He just did. He came out. I was like, oh my gosh, you are so not a cowboy. He just looked adorable. He looked adorable. Like, it was so cute. And Mark Pellegrino was just Mark Pellegrino, of course. But he ended up putting a cowboy hat on. Whoa, and that man can wear a cowboy hat. That's it. You know, I'm a big fan of Lucifer. So, yeah, so that was actually, you know what, I have to say, Misha fans, please don't hate on me. But I have to say that I love me. You know how I feel about Misha.
Yes,
I love
yes.
Misha. And, you know, and
I'll write a note Misha. For you to attest to your love for Misha.
I really, really love him. But I've seen, you know, a bunch of his panels, and I have to say that when he's with somebody, he actually answers questions.
Yes.
So, because normally his panels are kind of like this, I don't even know what they are.
Some real chaotic kind of like
craziness. Chaos and this stream of consciousness, and yeah, it's just, you know, and he'll half answer something and go, yep, and move on to something else. But when he's got someone else on stage, like I've seen him now with Mike Pellegrino, and I've seen him with Jim Beaver, and it seems to kind of center him a little bit, so he's not kind of all over the place like he usually is. So it was a really good panel. He actually answered quite a lot of questions. He had been working the night before. Now, this is like poor buggers. Misha and Jensen had done a Fratterday and then flown in.
Wow.
Like, I know, right? So Misha had like arrived. They'd arrived that morning. Like, obviously, Jensen wasn't on till the next day, but I would say he was pretty damn tired. And Misha was on that afternoon. So they'd flown down. Actually, Mark as well, I think. He was on their flight.
Because he was tomorrow people tomorrow. In Vancouver.
So they had flown down all on the same flight.
Hey, it's not as far as Australia.
No, true fact, but normally we're not working till like, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning or something,
true.
And then turning around and getting on a, you know, Sparrow flight.
Right. I'll actually give them that.
Entertain a bunch of salivating fangirls. So he was talking about how it was Jensen and him on set, and they couldn't get through the scene because Jensen was just making him laugh. It was something to do with it started off with, I don't know, Hazel wrote these notes for me. It started off with something to do with, I wouldn't mind a big slab of meat in my hand. And Jensen just went with it, and it just got dirtier and dirtier, and Misha just couldn't get any of his lines out. And the director, which is the new director, that it's the first time director that was directing this particular episode, ended up telling Misha off. And Misha's like, oh. He's like, he yelled at me. And he's like, Misha, you know, get it together. We, you know, we've got to get out of here. And Misha's like, oh my God, the director's yelling at me. And Jensen's like, I kind of have this theory about Jensen that maybe this is what he does. He kind of goes around and plants little like seeds and gets everybody in trouble. Like, everybody thinks it's Jared or something that does the jokes, but I think it's Jensen who kind of starts the trouble and then just kind of walks away clean.
I can quite imagine. It's like when I was at high school, I was, you know, I was the good student, so I was often the one who was, you know, setting up the jokes or playing the pranks because I was the last person the teachers would ever yell at. So I think your theory has got something to it.
Exactly. So they had a really good time. Mark Pellegrino, actually, note to Gishwas people, he actually suggested a few Gishwas things because we started talking about Gishwas and how Misha's favourite thing ever was that NASA had to tweet out about Gishwas. And so, you know, and Misha was actually writing them down. He was getting his phone out going, that's great, and putting them into his phone. So it was kind of like instead of, what was it, toast, I think that he was thinking about the next, or clothing, or maybe an outfit from wasabi, made with wasabi, that's just going to hurt.
Oh, that could be ouchies.
Or like a Pulp Fiction gimp outfit made out of fruit roll-ups.
Oh, okay.
That'd be fun.
Look, I was thinking something with toasters doable. Please, I need some things. My making outfits out of vegetables and foods, it's a challenge.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my gosh. So, it was a good panel. Mark Pellegrino talked about how there wasn't a lot of improv on Supernatural. Like, they were sort of like, oh, did you improv any of that loose? Lucifer stuff when he was in Sam's head, and he was like, no, because on Supernatural you don't, you know, it's written and it's, you know, you don't have a lot of time, everything's really fast and moving, so you pretty much do it as it's written. You might fiddle with the line a little bit, but you're not like, you know, spitballing improv sort of stuff. So and that was the last panel, and no, I didn't go to the cocktail party. So I went and got a photo with Misha, of course, and also, oh, I got the Fallen Angels photo. So that was Misha and Mark Shepherd and Mark Pellegrino. So that was a cool photo, and I got a photo with Misha, and I said to him, I'm really liking this outfit, you know, I think this is working for you. And he goes, yeah, you like it? And then he looked at me and we both just cracked up and burst out laughing. So it was just like, no, it's just terrible. He's so adorable. He just looked hilarious. He honestly looked like a five-year-old. But we did go to the cocktail party. I think we had to get, oh, we got a photo with James. He's such a charmer. I said, because for the longest time, James had one of my Vegas photos as his Twitter icon.
Oh, lovely.
And yeah, and I actually said that to him. He's like, oh, is that your photo? Thank you so much. And so when they were personalizing autos on Friday, but they weren't beyond that because it just got too busy. But he actually personalized mine, which I thought was really, really nice. Yeah. So and he was like, thank you so much for that. He's very smooth. He's very, very smooth. Very charming guy. So we did the autos, and by then it's quite late, and yeah. I think we just kind of.
And you needed your beauty sleep for Sunday.
Well, this is it. See, that's the thing. And, you know, I think that the cocktail parties will be a thing of the past. They're doing these cabarets now.
Yes.
They've got them on a couple of cons coming up. I think they know that these cocktail parties aren't working anymore. Yeah. They're just, you know, they're literally stopwatch the talent for 90 seconds and they hold a stopwatch and then they move them on. Apparently Mark Shepherd said no and stayed, you know, and they all sort of fight it. I don't think any of the actors enjoy that kind of environment.
No. And it's always going to be difficult on a Saturday because, as you said, the autographs can go quite late. So any function you're going to have is going to be quite late. And
it was 11.
Know, yeah. So, you know, they are problematic. But anyway, on to Sunday and the boys from Texas.
Those boys from Texas. Yeah, so we had the breakfast. They were running late because of the street work. They got caught in traffic coming from wherever they were coming from. And so they were a little bit late, but it was great. The breakfast is one of my favorite things, and I would be so sad if they ended up not doing them. I know with a couple of the cons they've done like special gold panels, but the breakfast is just really casual because it's breakfast, because we're all sitting at tables and everybody's just throwing their hands in the air, and it's just got a much more casual vibe. And yeah, so the guys rock up, they look awesome. Jared with his $15 beanie on. Of course, which is his, as Jensen said, it's actually like his hairdresser. It's, you know, that's like he wears it to keep his hair down under control. And I think Jensen said he had to behave because his surrogate family was there, because Jared's mum and dad were there.
No.
And I know, right? Oh, I know. And they were great. And I have to say, I have to come clean now with something tragic. I took some brilliant photos of the breakfast. Got Jensen doing that cross-eye thing. He can move that one eye into the middle, and he did it, which he's like, do you want me to do it? And then everybody's like, yeah. And he's like, oh, God. And then did it, and it's weird, right? So, but I got some great photos of it, and I got really good photos of the panel and stuff, and my card is corrupted, and I can't get them off. So I haven't given up hope yet. I've actually sent it to Alice, who runs the Winchester family business, and her husband's an IT expert. So I FedExed it to her, so to see if he can data retrieve it for me. And she's like, oh my gosh. I was like, it was just devastated for everybody, right? So anyway, so it was a lovely panel. The highlight of the day though for me was I actually did Jared and Jensen's meet and greets.
Yes.
So that was wonderful. Now I've only gone to Jared. It was great. And you know what? I remember I did both of them when I did Burbank a couple of years ago, and that was like this frantic experience. It just seemed really rushed and really busy, but it didn't seem like that this time. It meant that we had to go first for Jensen's photos, and he was a little not warmed up. He's kind of looked like a bit of a deer in the headlights. He looked beautiful, let's face it. And I had the best photo ever because I held his hand.
Yes, beautiful photo ops, I have to say.
I just love that photo op. Oh my God. Oh God. Anyway, sorry, having moment. But it was not, it didn't feel as rushed as we thought. We were like, oh my God, this is going to be really rushed, but it actually didn't feel as rushed. And Jared's meet and greet was straight after Jensen's photo op, so we like quickly did Jensen and then ran upstairs to the room for Jared, and he had his mum and dad in. It was actually really funny because I was saying, you know what we should all do? We should all do, you know, that like Tumblr face with the little fists and the eyes all rubbed, and like, yeah. And I said, we should all do that when he walks in. We should all go, yeah. And we were all absolutely beside ourselves laughing. And there was a girl on the front row, and she goes, yeah, we should do it. And she's got her hands to his face, and we're all to her face, and we're all laughing when he walked in. And she goes, oh, no, I did it. He goes, what? What did you do? Why are you all laughing? And we're all like, nothing. Totally busted. And we're all like, just like sitting there trying to be really, really calm.
Oh, gorgeous.
Oh, it was really good. And it's funny, like Jensen and Jared's meet and greets are very different experiences. I think, you know, you see the difference who they are. Jared's is, he's very, you know, effusive, and he just kind of talks. In actual fact, it was good. Hazel stopped it because he can actually just talk and just, you never get to actually ask anything. But she stuck her hand up and went, can I ask a question? He's like, what? Oh, well, oh, sure. So she asked, has he ever made a choice? Did he make a choice for Sam in the early seasons that he's regretted? And he's like, oh, what, like the Misha voice thing? And we're like, yeah, what, like anything really. And he said he didn't. He talked about how Sam has just sort of grown. He said that he talked about how he knew that Sam was supposed to be a brainiac, so he kind of played him that way in the beginning, but it's kind of morphed into a different direction. It was a really good answer. It went really, really long. We talked about, we actually, Deborah, who our friend, was there as well, and She asked about, I'm not sure if she was being, she is a vegetarian, but, you know, like, she was asking about where to eat vegetarian. And he's like, what? Eat here. It's got steak. And
yeah, you're in Texas.
Well,
do they have vegetarians?
Hazel's vegetarian and I don't eat any red meat. So we're like, actually, we want to know. Oh, that too. So we ended up being in this really good conversation about his favorite restaurants, one of which was called Eddie V's. And Hazel's like, right, Eddie V, right? Is that why you went there? And he goes, no, but I so totally thought that as well, because we all know he's a big fan of Pearl Jam fan. And his mum and dad were real sweet. They were there the whole time. And we actually turned around and had a chat to them about where to eat in San Antonio. So, and in Austin as well. So, yeah, it was a nice panel. Where the girl who got busted doing the face gave him this amazing quilt that she'd made, which had all little photos of him, and she actually gave it to. He goes, "Oh, can I have it?" And she goes, "Are you serious?" And he's like, "Yeah, can I?" And oh, is it? Oh, I'm sorry. Is it not for me? And she was like, no, it's, if you want it, you can have it. And she goes, but I have to have it for the photo op. And he's like, oh yeah, that's okay. You can hang on to it. And then I'll take it. She goes, do you really want it? And he's like, yeah, you know, I'll, and then when he left, he goes, no, it's great. I'll sleep on it. She goes, are you serious? You know, Jared's like, I'm going to sleep on your blanket. And I think mum, oh, she hung on to it, or his mum took it, I can't remember, but it was a nice panel. It wasn't, he talked about, he really, really wants to talk about season 9. He is so excited. Now, I have to say that I've, you know, we all know he's very passionate. We've seen both of them very passionate about the show, but they are excited about season 9. Like, there is a palatable excitement with both of these guys, Jared particularly. And actually, there were talk, someone said to him, because he was talking season 9, season 10, and someone said, do you think you would go beyond that? And he goes, yeah. You know, if the story is good, yeah. You know, we basically look at it season to season. And if the story is good, then we're there. Yeah, absolutely. And someone said, oh, but what about Jensen? The fandom seems to think Jensen's not on board like that. And he goes, no, we're in exactly the same place. We're the same. He said, he actually said, Jensen's not as effusive as I am. And he said, you know, he said, but no, he feels exactly the same way. If the story is still talking, 10, 11, 12, whatever, you know, if we're still digging it, we're still doing it. He said, when we don't think the story is being served anymore, when we no longer think the story is right for the show, then we'll make that call. But he said, as long as we're enjoying it, as long as we think it's cool, then we're going to keep doing it, which we thought was pretty interesting. And he really was desperate to talk about 9. He said, but I've got lots of letters from various people telling me not to, so I'm not allowed to. And he said, but he literally went and asked, went, come on, man, I want to be able to tell them stuff. And they went, no. So I know, it's a week, right? So he's like, oh, you guys, you won't believe it. It's so exciting. It's so cool. So he was very excited. And just looked amazing. Like, that guy, excuse me while I objectify, that guy just gets better freaking looking. I mean, I don't know what's going on with him, but in the cons, since I've been doing the cons, it's like every time I see him, I go, dear God, Padalecki, what's going on with you? And he looked amazing. And he's so nice. He's such a friendly, warm guy. And his parents seem like sweethearts. And so then we had to,
and then onto that other guy. Reasonable yeah. looking actor.
Yeah, we ran down, and then we had our photos with Jensen and Jared. I held their hands, and then Jared, I held his hand, and you know, like, he was so sweaty too. He's like, big hugs, and I'm like, oh, he's so sweaty, and his hands were sweaty. And it was a really funny thing. One of my friends, Felicia, really liked one of my photo ops, and so she'd printed it out, and she took it with her to show him and said, "This, I want this." And he goes, "Hey, I know her." And then we ran upstairs and for Jensen's, and Jensen had like pretty much the whole family there. He had his brother Josh and sister-in-law Ali, his mom and his dad, and his nana were there.
Oh, I know. Wow. How amazing. I mean, I just think it's lovely that they want to share that con experience with their families. I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah, it was.
And it must be lovely for the families to see too. I mean, just to see.
It was. I actually kind of go, what do they think? You know, I kind of wonder what they actually think about it all. I would love to kind of know.
Which is why I think it's great that they get the opportunity, because, you know, the convention experience particularly is really, until you actually go to one, it is difficult to convey a lot about the atmosphere. And I know from the crew members and the writers who are in Vancouver this time, you know, that you sort of think, oh, but you know about conventions, but they were so sort of taken aback by the actual experience. So I think for the families, as much as Jared or Jensen could tell them what happens, to actually be in the room and, you know, to see the fans interacting and the esteem that, you know, their sons are held in and the effect they have on people is, you know, must be, as a parent, must make you glow with pride, I would think.
I can't imagine. They must just glow with pride. And in these meet and greets, people ask really cool questions as well. Like, generally speaking, especially in Jensen's, I mean, in Jared's as well, Jared answered some great questions.
When he stops talking long enough for people to ask a question from the sound of it.
I know, right? I know. No, he was actually pretty good. He does just natter a little bit more, whereas Jensen sort of comes in and strides. I always say strides. He's just got the most amazing walk. And he comes in, he sort of plants down, says hey, sort of looks around and goes, oh, some familiar faces again. Oh, who, you know, a few of you I'm not seeing before. And, you know, does that, which is always really nice. So he kind of recognises us that he recognises, because there's always a few of us in there that, you know, like always do his if we're doing a con. And then we'll sort of embrace the people who are new. And then he kind of gets straight down to it, whereas Jared will kind of get in and start going, oh, man, you know, I had this blah, 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 and he just starts spoiling, you know, like some experience that he had this morning, or, ah, we had this terrible drive in. Whereas Jensen's like, okay, well, let's get to it. Who's got a question? And so Hazel asked the first question again. She's like, boom, hand in the air. And she asked actually about Nerdy Dean and, you know, where that kind of comes from, you know, because Dean is a very big pop culture fan. And I mean, Jensen said that often he feels like he is the voice of the writers. You know, obviously the writers have their own kind of nerdy things. But, yeah, you know, it's almost like an escape for Dean. He's got this kind of shitty life and, you know, he's got a lot of hours in hotel rooms where he can watch sort of TV and stuff like that. But, you know, it's kind of... he can embrace these other sort of worlds and fun things. You know, it's like a bit of an outlet for him away from the shit that he's having to deal with constantly. So, and there was questions about his directing, and he talked about how, you know, he just, you know, I've heard him talk about this before, you know, how he can't go on set and not do it half-assed. He's not directing this season. He's hoping to direct again next season. So, I mean, they're all talking next season. I love that they're all like, oh, next season, I'm hoping next season. But he wasn't obviously this season because he didn't want to give up a couple of weeks of his hiatus when he just had a new baby. So he had to pass on the directing. He talked about how he's, you know, really organized and, you know, like he goes on set on that first day with every single day actually shotlisted out, all 8 days shotlisted out. And he goes, yeah, they change on the way, but he needs to be that kind of organized. He just, you know, if he commits to something, he really commits to something, and he doesn't want to turn up and not know what he's doing. He just wants it to sort of all be really organized. Lynn from Fangasm asked him about how... why he thinks Sam sees the Men of Letters as a place of work, whereas Dean sees it as a home.
Oh yeah.
And which was good, and you know, but she actually ended up answering her own question. She's like, this is her area of study anyway. She's like, and he goes, didn't you just answered your own question? She's like, I did, didn't I? But you know, Dean actually remembers having a home, even if he was young.
Yeah.
He, you know, remembers having a home, whereas Sam never really had that experience. And sort of Jensen puts it down to that kind of thing that that Dean was always about, you know, he was ripped away from that family and home environment that he knew and thrown into this other environment that was, you know, totally foreign, that he remembers that trauma, whereas Sam was a baby and so doesn't, and so has never had that kind of connection where
Dean always has. No, well, for Sam, a different motel every week is home. That's normal for him. So you can see that, yes, having somewhere to... Although he's had a couple of experiences of settling down that it has a different place in his life. Continue on.
Okay, so I asked a question, obviously, and I asked, it was based on a lot of what we've heard about how Jared lost himself in Sam in those kind of final episodes, and he sort of talked about how he really kind of took it home and really went for it and was very affected by it. And Jensen has sort of said, yeah, he really took it. And, you know, I had to sort of say to him, hey, you know, relax and don't, you know, pull back a bit because you're losing yourself there. And I said to him, does it get easier or harder when you live with a character for 8 years like you have with Dean and he's become embedded in you? Is it easier or harder to
great question.
To, you know, get away from those very deep emotional scenes? And he actually went, And he said that it probably gets easier, not because, you know, him and Dean are so terribly different, but he said it's changed from being him being Jensen trying to find Dean's emotions and you know, he said in the past they used to have to, you know, sense memory, you know, something that had happened to them in the past to try and find that emotion for their character. And he said they know their character so well now and he knows Dean so well now that he said he doesn't feel the – he's not being Jensen trying to figure out how Dean will feel and then acting. He is Dean feeling. Yes. Which is why it looks so real, because he's just – he becomes Dean and he just feels those emotions and just, you know, he said it is easier to separate himself because there is Dean and there is, you know, and he just feels as Dean as opposed to Jensen taking on Dean's emotions. But he did sort of say and when he's, you know, like when he goes home and he's got a couple of months off or something, he said how he shakes Dean is to concentrate on, if he needs to concentrate on the aspects of Dean that are very different to Jensen. And he said if he can do that, he can create that separation. And he said, but Daniil does sometimes call him up on it and say to him, don't you use your Dean voice. Stop using your Dean voice. He wants to just break into Dean voice, which is awesome. And then he sort of said it'll be very interesting for him once the show ends, he said, because, you know, now it's like, you know, 2-3 months, I go back and I do Dean. So, you know, I can sort of shake him off a little bit and then I go back to him and, you know, I'm back with him and living with him again. Whereas when the show ends, he said, I don't know what's going to happen. Like when I get to that 3 month point when I normally go back to Dean, and he goes, and I won't be going back to Dean, he said, that's going to be really interesting and how that works for me. And we're all like, oh no. And he goes, you know, not getting in the Impala every day. And I went, well, you might be getting in the Impala every day. And he kind of looked at me out of the side of his eyes. He goes, you're right, I might. He goes, I'll just have a different long haired person next to me. and then he sort of wrapped up, but it was a really good answer. And I said that I'd loved season 8 was great, and I really adored season 18. I said he was a hug monster, and which made him laugh. And someone asked if he would ever, you know, like would like to do another project with his dad, because, you know, he was in Devour with his dad. And Alan at the back was like, well, I don't know that I'd ever want to do another project with him. And Chance is like, well, yeah, see, like maybe he doesn't want to work with me. So that was really fun. And yeah, it was a really nice meet and greet. It was nice to have the family there. And he answered some great questions. And there wasn't anything sort of, you know, controversial or anything in his one. It was just pretty nice answers. And he always gives amazingly thoughtful answers. He looked amazing. And he just, I've said this before, I know, he just completely eyeballs in on you when he answers you, and he'll always come back, like he's very conscious of the fact, like someone else might say something into your question and he'll kind of comment on that, but he'll always swing back to you and continue with you. He's just amazing. You know, he really wants to ensure that you get that time with him,
get that time. Oh, with
just
him.
Awesome. And then he sort of left, and the whole family left. And Ali, his sister-in-law, actually stayed, was staying and chatting. And his mum was sort of standing right next to me. And someone said something about JJ to her. And she goes, and she said, oh, she's so beautiful. She said, I'm in hog heaven. So yeah.
Oh, how delightful.
It's really sweet. She's super pretty as mom, and they just look like lovely people, you know. So it was I think a very nice experience to have both the meet and greets and have their families in the room with us, and you know, get them to sort of see how much we respect. I mean, every question that was asked was really respectful and, you know, very intelligent, and was really about both the boys' work, and, you know, there was nothing frivolous or anything like that. We really wanted to know stuff, and they were all very deep kind of character questions. So I think it must be great for the family to see that kind of respect, as well as, you know, the love that this was like booming in that room, but also to see the kind of respect that their children get.
The panel had a pig.
Now, we had met this pig already. We'd seen the pig a couple of times, and I'm a massive fan of pigs. I don't eat them, and I just think they're just the most awesome creature. And if I could own one, I would. We had actually said hello to this pig, and we knew it was like a service pig, you know, so it's a pig that's, you know,
an emotional support pig.
Yeah. So the panel was great. It was cowboy hats. I mean, Jensen wore a cowboy hat. There was a pig. The pig was hilarious because apparently it got loose under the seats for a while. One of my other friends, Jamie, said it was running under our seats. And I don't know if people have read the pig's story. The pig has a Tumblr, and the story of the pig queued up the pig's owner queued up to get an autograph with Misha. Apparently the pig really loves Castiel and always perks up when he hears Cass's voice on television. And so she wanted to get an autograph for the pig, and Misha got really excited about it. And it was Misha then who got her called out of the audience. Someone came up and got her and said, you know, can you please come with us? And she's like, oh, what the hell's the problem? And they said, it's about Mr. Collins. And so she went backstage, and Mr. Collins were there with Mr. Spade. And
we
want your pig on stage. Is that cool? And then Misha had to kind of bond with the pig because he was going to be holding the pig. And, you know, pigs are kind of, can be really sensitive. They're very sensitive animals, and they can be really wiggly and squealy. So, which is very interesting because, like, Misha brought the pig on and he was a little bit wiggly and squealy, handed it to Jared, still a little bit wiggly and squealy, handed it to Jensen, and it promptly fell asleep.
Yeah, it was. I was amazed. I have had some experience with pigs myself in a professional capacity, and I was just amazed at how relaxed it was. And
it was like it just completely bonded.
Jensen, the pig whisperer.
Jensen is the pig whisperer. But his face, it was so precious. It was just like, and Jared was just having the best time, and Jensen on that deadpan, why is this happening to me face that he calls.
Why am I on stage with a holding a pig?
And he goes, I have a pig in my lap. First time I've ever had a pig in my lap. And it's just like dead panic. But he'd say, it's just me and you, buddy. And he'd put the microphone to the pig's mouth, and the pig went and make little noises. It was like it was the thing.
It looked like they had a great double act going.
They had an act. It was so funny. And then he's doing pig and a poke. He's poking the pig. And, oh, gosh. It was just bizarre. What the hell, supernatural convention? And it was a fun, you know, like, it was a fun panel. They're always fun panels. Lots of laughter. I can't even remember what anything. I'm sure there's videos on YouTube. People go and watch them. For if they said anything, they talked about the season. They talked about the upcoming season. And once again, how excited they are and some of the storylines, you know, which we all know because that's all they can talk about. And they talked about you know, like sacrifice. I mean, everybody wants to talk about that still, because we haven't got a new episode yet, so we're still hanging on to that one. And I don't know, just general sort of the normal kind of con sort of stuff. Talked about acting, and then there was the pig, which was awesome. And you know, there was one point that Jensen got up and acted something out that Jared does. I can't remember what it was now. We were talking about how Jensen always seems to, everybody sort of goes, oh, Jensen's so quiet and reserved, but it's Jensen who always gets up and does like the big shit on stage and acts things out.
Oh, yeah.
All over the place. It's like, yeah, not so much. So yeah, and then we got our autos, and actually Jensen, poor bastard, he had to be out by 4 on a flight back to Vancouver because he was working, getting picked up for 6:30 the next morning to shoot. Jared had a couple of days off, so he'd been down in Austin since like Wednesday or something and had like a few days off and wasn't going back up until Monday night. So Jared actually stayed and signed autos till like 6:30 or something. I was talking to everybody. So if you went up and got your, yeah. So it's like, I know that all of us who have done conventions, you often, you kind of, it's pretty quick, you know, you get your chance to say thanks for the day. You know, it was really great to meet you, all that. They always, you know, they always say thanks for coming. A little bit of eye contact. Jensen had to stop and blow his little nose while he was signing mine. I had a little cold, I think. But Jared just stayed. So he was there with his mum and dad were there, and they were chatting to people, and yeah, so he actually came up on stage afterwards and sort of said, you know, I'm sorry Jensen had to run off, and but you know, there was one thing actually, someone had their poster pinched, this girl.
Oh yeah, yes,
who actually,
someone who had it signed at many conventions.
Yeah, I actually bought her autograph, her Jensen autograph, off her silver ticket. So I know her, or I know her now. And she had left it in an ATM or something, and it had vanished. And it was, she'd been working on it for a while, and I saw it. It's really cool. So everybody doodles on it. So it's not just signed. Everybody has done drawings on it. It's a picture of Jared, and Jensen's written a great big thing, bubble out of his mouth saying, you know, I lost my shoe, I'm an idiot or something. And, you know, Jared's signed it like 3 times with little drawings. Everybody's drawn things on it. And so that was, like, she was just devastated. And Jared came out on stage like twice to go, guys, someone out there's got it. And he did it in this really nice way, you know, if anybody's seen it. But he did sort of say, hey, 9 years of being family, let's not spoil it now. And it was like, whoa. Jared is like going, he was, and I spoke to her about it because I was standing in the queue with her, and she got it back. It came back. And
yeah.
And she actually had Clifford given her his number and said, text us if you find it, which she did. And, you know, they were really happy that she got it back. And we were looking at it. But she had gone and seen Creation and said it had lost. And they had actually taken her backstage. Clifford had come and got her and taken her backstage and talked to Jared about it. And Creation had actually given her a whole lot of autograph tickets, had said, don't worry about it, next year we'll get you a new poster. We are going to get this redone for you. You know, it was really amazing. Everybody kind of went to town to try and help her back, and she ended up getting it back. So whoever had it, found it, whatever, they returned it, which was great, and it was a really cool poster. So I kind of,
and a nice little way to end.
Absolutely. Well, we didn't end there because we had two more panels. We had I know, right? We had Coran Nemec, who, this was his first panel back since his awful injury. And he's still, you know, obviously in rehab, and he's got a cane. So he walks with a cane at the moment. I don't know if that's forever or for now, but he's such a nice guy. He always does just such great panels, and he's been in so many shows. He can just talk and talk and talk, and he's a funny guy. He's such a good storyteller. I don't know if you've seen his panels.
Yeah, he was at... Oh, all yeah. breaks loose last
yeah,
year.
Yeah, and yes. he'll be there yeah, this year yeah, as well. So next year. Where are we? And so he had a great panel. But the one that was absolutely amazing was we had Rachel Miner. Now, I'd never met Rachel. And she's tiny. We got our photo taken.
Yeah, there's talking tiny. I'll agree with you. She is tiny.
You know, like we went, oh, my God, she's so small. It's one of our favourite photos. It's the cutest damn photo. We're all kind of giggling and little. And, you know, we're kind of hugging around her, and she's this tiny little person. And she did a great panel. But what was really awesome was I think nearly every single person that came up went, oh, my God, I love you so much. I mean, it was just everybody loves her, like just passionately in love with her. I love her because I love her Meg. I'm pretty excited at VegasCon. We've also got Nikki Acox is coming, so we're going to have two Megs, and they're doing a double Meg photo, which will be really... So, but I'm a big Rachel Miner Meg fan, and I was, you know, Robbie, I'm still cursing you for killing her, and curse you, and so I was super excited, and she was just awesome, and she was really did a great panel, really entertaining, really inspirational, and she's, you know, just a sweetheart, and just everybody, every single person was like, I love you. She had so many people queued to ask questions, and it was great. So I was super excited that she was there, and she did a great panel. So then, yeah, it was kind of weird because normally you do the autos with the guys, and then it's over, and you go and sit somewhere and bask in your. In your Jay's glory and kind of thing, but we sort of just turned around and went straight back into a couple of panels and then got autographs from. I didn't get Corin because I'm going to get him in Vegas and he, you know, wasn't included. Sorry, and you know, all hell breaks loose. But I got an autograph with Rachel and it was great because I actually sort of said, oh, you know, I love your Meg, I love you, Meg. I said, but I have to say, I'm still traumatized by your death in Sons of Anarchy.
Sons of Anarchy. Yes.
She was like.
I was unfortunate. I wanted to ask her about that, which I didn't get the chance in Vancouver because for people don't know, she got burnt alive in Sons of Anarchy.
Horrific.
Burnt alive.
It was horrific. And I said, it was horrific and I'm still haunted by it. And she goes, oh, that's fantastic. And she goes, oh, did it look really? It was really good. And I was like, oh, it was fantastic. And she goes, that's great. Because she said she spent 2 days in that pit. Doing that scene. So she said, I'm glad it looked good.
Sequence was traumatic.
I was like, it was horrific. It was awesome. So that was good that I got to say that to her. She's super sweet. So, yeah, and that was
it. So it sounds overall like an amazing con.
It was one of the best I've done. It was a really good vibe. Everybody was having fun. It was just, I really liked the doubling up, like they do that a lot now. They double up the panels, and I actually think that I actually really enjoy that. At first, I was like, "Oh my god, you know, Misha doesn't have a solo panel," but he was great with Mark Pellegrino. They're really funny together. You know, James and Mark were great together. Rich,
I think you get great. You know, when there's good chemistry between them, I think it enhances both of the people on stage, and I think it also leads to a lot more of the unexpected.
And they sit and they chat between themselves, and you know, sometimes forget you're there. I think, and then they're like, oh yeah, we're in front of an audience, and we're having a little conversation. But they then bounce around, you know, stories. And they remind each other of things, which, you know, it just kind of, as you say, it really opens up the panels and makes for a very entertaining environment. And I love Dallas Con. I'm not going back next year. Everybody keeps asking me, but I'm doing that.
So many cons, so little time.
Stop it. I live on the other side of the world. But no, next year for me is Vegas and VanCon, if they ever put those tickets on sale. But Dallas was great. And it's certainly one that I would think about doing again because it was a really good con, really good.
Fantastic.
And I'm still in Texas having fun.
And, of course, we are still in convention season. So we've got... coming up in a couple of weeks on the 11th, we've got the convention in Toronto, so back to Canada. And then, of course, October 25 is the Chicago Con, where it all started for creation in North America, and followed on the another part of the world with Asylum 11, which comes up in November, the beginning of November. So
And then Burbank somewhere around there as well.
And then after that is Burbank, so the convention in LA to end off the year on the 22nd of November. So
yep.
It's all happening, and in between, as Amy and I mentioned, we'll have Armageddon down here in Melbourne. So thank you, Amy. Thank you for getting up early. And
that's my pleasure.
And telling us all about this. And our next podcast will be after the beginning of Supernatural Season 9.